Amen. Well, thank you for being here this evening. I hope you have a handout for tonight's lesson. We are in Matthew chapter number 21. Matthew chapter 21, as we continue in the parables. And this evening we are looking at the parable of the wicked husbandman. The wicked caretakers, I should say, of the vineyard. So, Matthew chapter 21, we'll read a few verses, 33 to 46. Matthew 21, 33 to 46. Now remember, in our last lesson, the Lord is following on from his initial rebuke to the Pharisees. And in verse 33, he says, "Hear another parable." And this rebuke is worse than the last. Let's have a look at Matthew 21, verse 33 to 46. "Hear another parable. There was a certain householder which planted a vineyard and hedged it round about, and so he put a fence around it and digged a wine press in it, a place in the earth where the grapes were pressed and the juice would flow. And he built a tower and left it out to a husbandman and went into a far country. And when the time of the fruit drew near, he sent his servants to the husbandman that they might receive the fruits of it. And the husbandman took his servants and beat one and killed another and stoned another. Again, he sent out other servants more than the first, and they did unto them likewise. But last of all, he sent unto them his son, saying, They will reverence my son. But when the husbandman saw the son, they said among themselves, This is the heir. Come, let us kill him and let us seize on his inheritance. And they caught him and cast him out of the vineyard and slew him. When the Lord therefore of the vineyard cometh, what will he do unto those husbandmen? Now the Pharisees answered in verse 41 by saying, They say unto him, He will miserably destroy those wicked men and will let out his vineyard unto other husbandmen, which shall render him the fruits in their seasons. So they prophesied against themselves. That's amazing. Verse 42, Jesus saith unto them, Did ye never read in the scriptures, The stone which the builders rejected, the same is become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore say I unto you, The kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof. And whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken, but on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. And when the chief priests and Pharisees had heard his parables, they perceived that he spake of them." Now that's important. He spake of them. "But when they sought to lay hands on him, they feared the multitude, because they took him for a prophet." Wow, what a parable. And what a great many lessons. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and commit this message to him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, dear Lord, that you have given us these parables, Lord, to encourage us in the faith. Thank you, Lord, that the mysteries of these parables are revealed unto your own children, that we can understand them and learn from them, and, Lord, rejoice in them. Thank you for the truth of the Word of God. Lord, may you be glorified this evening in our lives through your truth. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Now, last week, remember, we looked at the parable of the two sons. And remember, earlier on, the Lord was causing a stir in the temple. He went in and offended those who were selling and buying goods and trading and doing wicked merchandise in the temple. And remember, the religious Jews came to the Lord and they said, "Who gives you the right to do this? Who gives you the right to disrupt what's going on in the temple? Who do you think you are?" Remember, they accused the Lord of having no right. And then the Lord Jesus said very wisely, "Before I answer your question, let me ask you my question." And then the Lord asked these religious Jews who they thought John the Baptist was and where his message came from. Now, they were deceptive, they are liars, they are wicked, so they didn't answer him honestly. And because they didn't answer him honestly, the Lord Jesus decided to teach them, in fact, rebuke them in parables. in parables. The first one was the parable of the two sons. Remember, there was one that was refused to respond, but repented and went into the work of the Lord. Then there was another one representing the religious Jews, another son, who said, "Yes, I'll serve you, yes, I'll work," but repented not and did not serve the Lord. And the Lord contrasted the repentant believer to the self-righteous, unrepentant religious Jew. We learned some lessons in that parable. And now we come to the parable of the wicked husbandman. Now here the Lord increases his rebuke, doesn't he? This is a scathing rebuke to the religious Jews. And the Lord uses a simple illustration of a vineyard. And he says, hear another parable. The Lord is speaking to his enemies face to face. Imagine the Lord Jesus standing right there with the Pharisees, there accusing him of having no authority, and the Lord begins to lay out prophecies one after another. Almost a timeline of the history of the nation of Israel right here in this parable. It's amazing. Well, let's have a look at what the Lord has for us in this parable. Notice the privilege of the husbandman. That's your first blank. There in your notes, the word is privilege. The privilege of the husbandman. Now, the word husbandman means a farmer, a worker. That's what the word husbandman means. Verse 33, notice there with me. There was a certain householder. The householder is the owner of the vineyard. He's the Lord. He's the owner. He's the landowner of the vineyard. The Bible says here in verse 33, the Lord Jesus spoke about a man who planted a vineyard. He put a wall around it. He basically set it up for the workers completely. It was completely arranged, completely set up. They didn't have to do anything except just to care for the vineyard. And then he went away. He left it in their hands. And he said to them, "Look after the vineyard, and I will come back for the fruit of that vineyard." He left it in their hands, and his only desire was that there would be fruit as a result. There would be a harvest, amen? That they would serve the master, and there would be a harvest as a result. Now, we understand in this parable that the householder, the owner of the vineyard, is God the Father. He is the owner of the vineyard, amen? And we understand that the vineyard is God's sphere of work on the earth, the kingdom of God, if you will, God's sphere of work, outworking on the earth. Now, we understand, of course, initially the vineyard was given to whom? Who was God's representatives and people? The nation of Israel, the Jews, that's exactly right. They were the husbandmen. Remember, the Lord is speaking to the religious Pharisees, the Jews. They were the husbandmen, the workers in the vineyard, and they were the most privileged people on the earth because they were the people of God. Amen? God had given them everything they needed to serve Him, to live for Him. Notice Josiah chapter 24. If you can find that in your Bibles, you've got the wrong Bible. So forgive me, I've given you the wrong reference in your notes. I should have typed Joshua chapter 24. So please don't quote me on Josiah. That is not in your Bible. Joshua 24, there in your notes. Notice what the Bible says. As they looked to the promised land that God had given them, the Bible says, "And I have given you a land for which you did not labor." Amen. "And cities which ye built not, and ye dwell in them. Of the vineyards and olive yards which ye planted not, do ye eat. Now therefore fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in truth." You know, God gave the nation of Israel everything they needed. He set them up. Amen? In fact, they had vineyards which they did not plant. See, the householder here in this parable is God the Father. The husbandman are the nation of Israel. If you're reading through the book of Romans, you would have noticed in your Bible reading for the plan to read through your Bible in the year, if you're following it in the bulletin, you would have noticed how much Paul the Apostle refers to the Jews and says, "Hey, Look at the great inheritance you had. You had the oracles of God. You had the Word of God. And you didn't serve the Lord. You know, Christ was speaking to the most privileged people on the earth, the Jews. They had the Word of God. They had the promise of the Messiah. They had the tabernacle and the temple and everything they needed to know about the Lord, to have a relationship with the Lord. They had the message of the Messiah to come. Remember, there were Jews in that day, including Joseph and Zechariah. When the Lord's time came to be born on this earth, remember, they were believing Jews. They were faithful Jews. But yet these religious Jews represented these husbandmen, these wicked farmers who did wickedly with what God had given them. So it was a rebuke to the Jews, to the Pharisees. Before we go any further, let me say, for us as Christians, we need to notice that this vineyard now has extended beyond the nation of Israel. It's gone beyond the Jews. Remember, as Brother Rees mentioned, the nation of Israel is now set aside. And who is God dealing with today? He's dealing with the church of God. The Jew, the Gentile, and the church of God. The church of God is made up of believing Jews and Gentiles. And brethren, we are the church of God. And guess what? We are today the most privileged people on the face of this earth. So oftentimes we forget we have the greatest inheritance that anyone could ever have. The Lord Jesus Christ, amen. The greatest salvation, the greatest joy. And we've been planted in the vineyard, a harvest field. See, God has called us to be husbandmen now. The Jews have been set aside. And I know this isn't the application because God is rebuking the Pharisees. But wouldn't it also be a rebuke to us if we are slack? Now, we can't lose our salvation. We didn't reject the Son. We know that, the Lord Jesus Christ. But we can be slack. We can be lazy. We can be not serving. Amen. God expects fruit. You know, God, the Lord is coming. The Lord is coming at the rapture. We'll be taken up to meet the Lord in the air. And then we will stand at the judgment seat of Christ. And if you will, let me put it this way. The Lord will say, where's the fruit? Amen. Where's the fruit? What have we done for the Lord that will last? Gold, silver, and precious stones. Is there fruit in our Christian life? We need to ask the hard question. And if there's not, well, praise God. The Lord hasn't come yet. We've still got time to continue to grow. You know, there ought to be fruit in our relationship with the Lord, for example. As we walk with the Lord, as we grow in His Word, we ought to be changing. You know, the sin struggles that we had as a new believer, we should be slowly but surely getting victory over those sin struggles. They won't disappear, but we ought to be growing in the Word of God. Are we putting it down into our life? Are we obeying His Word? Are we being changed? Is there fruit in our growth? Is there fruit in our witness? Amen? Are we being witnesses more and more as the day approaches? Are we? Now, there will always be a hesitation to witness. That will never leave us. But we need to trust the Lord more, don't we? Absolutely. Don't think that fear will ever leave you, that hesitation. You might say, Pastor, I'm a terrible witness. I hesitate. Well, we all do. But we should be more bold as we go through the Bible every year, as we see, wow, look at these open doors that God creates. I need to be ready to give an answer. I need to be learning how to give a better answer. Amen. Are we growing in our witness, in our service for the Lord? Are we serving the Lord? Amen? In the local New Testament church, are we serving? Is there fruit in our family? See, Christ has to be the center of our lives. John chapter 15 and verse 5 in your notes. Notice there with me. The Lord said, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. The Lord says, abide in me. Not only be saved, amen, but be surrendered. Lord, the Lord not only needs to be the Lord of our salvation, but the Lord of our everyday life. Amen. That's where the rubber meets the road. The Lord said this, take up your cross daily. daily taking up the cross, daily making decisions for the Lord, daily spending time with the Lord. And if we do, the same bringeth forth much fruit. There will be fruit, eternal fruit, fruit that the world doesn't respect, but fruit that the Lord will honor. Amen. So how are we going? The Lord of the vineyard is coming. Now remember, the application, of course, here is for the religious Jews. But we can also take heed. Notice, secondly, the persecution of the servants. The persecution of the servants. The Lord sent his servants. Now, the servants were not the householders. Excuse me, the servants were not the husbandmen, the farmers. These were the messengers. Amen? The servants that came to bring a message. Where is the fruit? What's happening in the vineyard? And no doubt there was some rebuke when they arrived. And one by one, the servants were sent, as we see. One of them was beaten. The next one was killed. And the next one after that was brutally killed. They stoned him. And so these wicked husbandmen killed and beat the messengers, the servants. The servants. Now, who are these servants? Who are these messengers? Well, are they not the Old Testament prophets and preachers of old? Are they not ones like Jeremiah who pleaded with the nation of Israel to repent and they would not? There in your notes, there's Acts chapter 7, is that right?
Yep.
Did I put that in there?
Yep.
Now, you remember Stephen? Yes. Stephen, the first martyr of the Christian church, as he stood and testified for the Lord, notice what he said, "Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost as your fathers did, so do ye. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them which showed before of the coming of the Just One, of whom ye have been now the betrayers and murderers." You see, the religious Jews were rebuked of the Lord not only for rejecting the privilege that they had to serve the Lord in the vineyard, to be the husbandman, but then he rebuked them for slaying, persecuting, beating the prophets. Remember what happened to John the Baptist? Amen. His head was chopped off. His head was chopped off and he was killed. John the Baptist. We could call him the last prophet before the Lord. Amen. John the Baptist. Well, again, he was speaking to the Jews. He was telling them they killed the prophets. As they were accusing him of having no authority, the Lord said, "Let me tell you something. Let me tell you about who you really are and what you have done as a nation and as self-righteous, religious, unbelieving Jews." Now, for the Christian today, we need to understand that every servant who lives godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Amen? That's what the Bible says. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, that those very words, verse 12, if we are living godly, we will suffer persecution. Every servant will. Every messenger will. Let me ask you the question. Are you suffering for your faith? Are you suffering rejection? Has anyone rejected you recently? Now let me say this, if we are not rejected and if we're not facing some kind of persecution, that means we are not serving the Lord as we ought to. Sooner or later, someone will reject you for being a witness. And if we're not facing that, then we are not being a witness. We are not telling others about the gospel as we should. There ought to be someone this week that says, "No thanks, I don't want that invitation. Beat it." Or, "No thank you." Or they turn a cold shoulder. Well, they don't want to be your friend anymore at work. See, if we are witnessing, if we are serving, we will be persecuted. We will be rejected for the faith. That is the lot of the servant of Christ. Amen. That is our ministry. Because we are in the vineyard. We are in the vineyard and the harvest involves not grapes, but eternal souls. The eternal souls of mankind. So let's not be surprised when persecution comes. We are involved in the greatest battle on this side of eternity. Absolutely. So then why are we surprised when persecution comes? Why are we surprised when we're rejected? You know, we need to guard our hearts, don't we? None of us like being the bad guy. The one that everyone doesn't like. The Christian. in the workplace, the Christian at school, the one that's looked down on. Sure, there are other Christians out there, but they're loved because they're not telling anyone anything. They're inviting them to rock concerts, which they love, the unsaved love. But as soon as someone speaks up and says, you must be born again, watch out. Jesus is the only way, watch out. The gospel. And we need to hold up that shield of faith and understand by what we see in the Word of God, servants will be persecuted. We need to be prepared to face persecution. But remember what the Lord says. He says, don't hide. I'm in control. Instead of hiding when we're persecuted, I want you to rejoice. Notice what the Bible says in Matthew 5:12. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. Now, often that's what I've referred to when we've looked at this verse, the fact that we will be rewarded for suffering for Christ. But notice the next half of the verse, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Do you realize as we witness for the Lord in this day, we are walking in the footsteps of Elijah. We are walking in the footsteps of Noah. We are walking in the footsteps of Moses. Amen. They were persecuted for their faith in the Lord. We are walking in their footsteps, and we also will receive a prophet's reward if we are faithful with the gospel. And we can rejoice. What an amazing thing. We don't think about that, do we? And I can go out this week and, you know, I may not be able to perform the miracles of Elijah. If you can, come and see me after the service and we'll sort it out. But you know, we've got a message to deliver. Absolutely. It's a wonderful message. The message of the gospel. Let me encourage you. We can rejoice. We can rejoice. The messengers of the past went through the same thing. Not to mention the Lord Jesus Christ. See, a Christian who is a failure in the world's eyes is crowned in the Lord's presence. A Christian who is a failure in the world's eyes will be crowned in the Lord's presence. A crown of righteousness which the righteous judge shall give him at that day. Amen. Persecution. Lastly, the punishment of his heir. That's your last blank, the word punishment. If you miss any blanks, they're at the bottom of your page. The punishment of his heir. Last of all, who did God the Father, the householder, send to these husbandmen? His Son. Well, we know who that is, don't we? Our Lord Jesus Christ. Last of all, he sent his Son. Now, can you see the long suffering and the love of God in these verses? Can you see how God was so patient with the nation of Israel? If it was you and I, we would have wiped them off the face of the earth. And yet God was patient, long suffering. Last of all, he sent his only begotten Son. For God so loved the world, the Bible says, that he gave his only begotten Son. And when God sent the heir, when God sent the Son, what was their response? They killed him. They slew him. The Bible says, notice in the verses where the Lord continues in verse 42, did you never read in the scriptures the stone which the builders rejected? See, the Lord was referring to the Old Testament. These Pharisees, they understood the Bible well. They knew what the book of Daniel said about this stone. They knew what the psalmist said in Psalm 118 about the stone which has been rejected. The Bible speaks of this stone. And they had rejected the Messiah. In fact, they were doing the very thing the Lord was saying right in front of them. There was the Messiah. The stone which the builders rejected. Those who are meant to serve God, the builders, the Jews, rejected the chief cornerstone. And here is the wonderful truth there in verse 42. The stone which the builders rejected, what happened? The same has become the head of the corner. Amen? Yes. Though Christ was crucified, though they killed him on the third day, he rose again from the dead, and the Lord Jesus Christ ascended to the right hand of God the Father and proved he is the head of all creation. Amen? He is the head of all things. And he arose in victory. Notice what the Lord said. This is the Lord's doing. And it is marvelous in our eyes. What a wonderful joy for those of us who are Christians. Amen. This is marvelous in our eyes. What a wonderful plan of salvation. But what a condemnation for the unbeliever. See, they punish the heir. Christ has been crucified. And those who reject him, the Bible says, those who accept him in verse 44, whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken. Amen? A vivid description of repentance when it comes to salvation. Those that fall upon Christ in repentance for salvation, they will be broken, they will be saved, but on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. See, either Christ is our Savior or he will be our judge. And the Jews had rejected Christ, and he was now their judge. They were privileged, they persecuted the servants, they punished the heir, and now they were in peril of losing their own souls. Well, verse 45 tells us they got the message. And what a message it was, don't you agree? Amazing, amazing parable. Was it not another opportunity for them to turn around and repent? Amen? The Lord laying out the history of Israel right before them. And they could have stopped and said, this is the heir. This is the son. We want to kill him. And they did. In verse 46, they sought to lay hands on him. But they feared the multitude. They were self-righteous religious Jews. Now that's the application for Christ's rebuke. But what about us? Well, are we laboring in the harvest field? Is there any fruit for the Lord? When we're persecuted, do we retreat or do we rejoice like the prophets of old? And do we marvel in what the Lord has done? Is he marvelous in our eyes? Amen. He should be if he saves your soul. Is he marvelous in your eyes? Is the message of salvation, the gospel, marvelous in your heart? Do you tell it marvelously to others? Praise the Lord, we can serve him. Amen. Now one day, God will turn his attention back to the nation of Israel. The church does not replace Israel. They've been set aside for a time, and now we are in the picture. God will turn his attention to Israel once again, as we are learning this year. But let me encourage you, Christian. God expects fruit. He's coming. Amen? And let's receive the message tonight from the Word of God, and let's serve the Lord together.